You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh my God, Sean Ross Sapp's here for the post show. It's 95 degrees today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. This is your Fightful post show for WWE SummerSlam Night 2, and Lord Almighty, do we have a lot to talk about. I want to thank our sponsors, MyBookieAG, NordVPN.com/Fightful, and of course, HelixSleep.com/Fightful. I'll ask you guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. It greatly helps us. Leave a comment after that, after the fact, in the comment section or here in the live chat. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. If you are new to Fightful, you're in for a treat. I know we're kind of known for the paywall, $5.99 a month, Fightful Select. We'll promote that throughout the night, but we've got more free content than anywhere else. Go to Fightful.com. Check all that out. We've got a ton of interviews, nightly post shows, news shows. We are the most interactive wrestling news website on the planet, and there's going to be a lot to interact about tonight. My gosh, Brock Lesnar is back. Of all the things that happened tonight, including an amazing main event, that's going to be a heavy, heavy topic. Oh man. I mean, listen, it's so out of left field that the MyBookie odds didn't even have that one up. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are live on youtube.com/Fightful, on twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. We are on facebook.com/Fightful Online. We are on my Twitter, Steven Jensen, Jeremy Lambert, Fightful's Twitter. And right now, as you see me look right over here, we are live on TikTok. I'm going to try to do this occasionally when it's me rocking solo. It's easier for me to do, but check us out over there on all platforms. But let's talk about WWE SummerSlam. Oh, man, I am so interested to see how you guys feel about Brock being back. Let me tell you guys, it was completely out of left field. Like, it's the job to try to find out stuff like this. This wasn't on anybody's radar. And I'll give you guys some interesting stories about the process of the Rock being, or Brock Lesnar not being around for quite a while. I just want to make it clear, he has not been cleared of anything right now. He is still actively mentioned as a part of the lawsuit against WWE and Vince McMahon. We will talk about that as well. No matter where you're watching, you can send a humper chat at humperchats.com, or you can go over to youtube.com/Fightful and send in a super chat. I want to know what you guys think. I want to hear how you guys feel about all this stuff. I want to thank our great partner, MyBookieAG. They'll be providing us odds throughout this weekend and these shows. Several underdog picks hit. So if you put that code Fightful, got that $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit, you might have made some money. We missed our first lock pick ever last night. The shame. We're only 34 of 35. But man, if you bet on some of these underdogs tonight, you won a little bit. Now, only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. But let's jump right into it. Naomi picked up a win over Rhea Ripley. Io Sky. I don't know, man. Like, I it's clear you all want to talk about the thing. Well, let's just talk about it. Let's actually come back to this. Let's talk about the thing that you all want to talk about. We got plenty of time. I ain't going anywhere. I'm here to talk to you guys. Let's talk about Lesnar coming back right out of the gate. Let's just go ahead and do that. Because that kind of exists on its own. Y'all know the results. Y'all know what happened. And like, I'm revealing them. Somebody said, you said Brock Lesnar was never coming back. That's a lie. I never said that Brock Lesnar was never coming back, because there is never a situation where somebody is never coming back at all. And let me make that clear. Brock Lesnar has not been cleared of anything. That is not the thing. Like, it just hasn't been. Andrew Brown says, I think bringing out someone who's alleged to be a part of a sex trafficking ring says a lot. So let's talk about that. Brock Lesnar was referred to in the Janelle Grant lawsuit, especially the amended one, as basically being used, alleged as her being used as a negotiating chip in getting Brock Lesnar to re-sign with the company. And the trafficking element is that they had her send, allegedly, Brock lewd images. Now, to make that clear, he has not been cleared of anything. And the press conferences now being canceled, and keep in mind, you can say that media doesn't ask tough enough questions. Media was going to be asking about this one. They were going to be asking about it. Somebody says, what is he guilty of? It's not, okay, let's break that down, because you're going to see a lot of that. What is he guilty of? It is a civil lawsuit. Civil lawsuit. Not a criminal lawsuit. You listen, you don't know what could eventually emerge, what could go, any of that. But like, when they announced that the pressers are gone now, well, that makes an awful lot of sense, right? Like, oh man. Parker Hines says, bringing Lesnar back just brings more attention to the lawsuit. Don't know if this is a good idea. Tony Randazzo says, only in Trump's America would Paul think that bringing Brock back is okay. Good grief. Well, I mean, listen, they've drawn their line in the sand. They have decided what they want to do. They have made it abundantly clear. They've been making it clear for quite some time. They have been pretty distinct on that. James Stalling says, great main event. After is absolutely tone deaf. Got an insane reaction live. Clockwork Gadget says, F Lesnar and F this company, dude. I'm done. And Zay says, Brock has a weird taste. Why is he around? Got the Kendrick Lamar comment there. Also said, the law of live feed sounding like WWE were messing with crowd audio. I don't know about that. I'll see what I can find out, but I don't think you needed to on that main event segment. Like, I think that was going to get a pretty crazy reaction no matter what. The first, you know, the riff of Brock Lesnar's entrance theme is going to get a lot of attention regardless. Noise says, the whiplash I had from being so emotional and happy to seeing an amazing Cena match to pissed when I saw the last 5 minutes of the event. Somebody's saying, Sean's only reading the liberal comments. Well, buck up and send your $5 Humper Chat, and I'll read yours too, big boy. But Noise says, yeah, I mean, listen, that I was shocked. I had no inclination, and we can talk about this now. So in the last year or so, gosh, a year and a half now since it's been. So when that stuff, the lawsuit emerged, Brock was pulled from the road. He was supposed to be at the Royal Rumble. Actually, I found out he got pulled from the Rumble because I found out that they had to cancel a gigantic steakhouse reservation, I think, in Tampa. And then I want to say a couple months, there was another reporter who was moving on claiming that Brock Lesnar was coming back at the end of the Cody match at WrestleMania last year. And of course, I got to start asking about that. If we hear rumors and stuff, I ask within WWE, and I had a WWE higher up, I'll say, that's like, listen, I'm not going to talk on the phone. I am not going to text. I'm not going to do any of that, but meet me here. We'll have this conversation. So I met them in Philadelphia. It was like the Simpsons episode with the lit cigarette in the distance is how I've always referred to that. And that person said, listen, as of right now, which was, again, 16 months ago, they said Brock Lesnar is not going to be back. They're like, 2K would kill us after us having to remove him from the game. And there were like two or three other times up until, I want to say, the end of 2024, that people would say, oh, Brock, he might be coming back. And all the way up until the start of 2024, never heard anything. And really, as of a few months ago, it was just really not in the cards, not mentioned. And somebody's saying Brock didn't do anything wrong beyond possibly cheating on his wife. Let me explain to you guys what sex trafficking is. It is a woman, allegedly, I want to say this allegedly, working for Vince McMahon and Johnny Ace, being farmed out to other people. That is the act of trafficking. Trafficking. Look it up. You can Google it. Sex trafficking. But over the last few months, there hasn't been much of a reason to ask. Somebody says, here comes the liberal BS. So let me just say this. If that's your line of thinking, get smooth the fuck up away from Fightful. Sex trafficking, by definition, is not a liberal or conservative definition. You absolute dumb fuck. Get smooth away. Don't give me your $5.99 a month. Don't give me your thumbs up. Don't give me anything. Go somewhere else. Now, what we don't know is the certain validity of things like this. I want to be clear. It is guilty until, or innocent until proven guilty. And I am of the belief of that. But what you won't do is try to redefine what sex trafficking is and assign it to a political party. That's dumb. That's moron shit. Go find your Facebook page and do stuff about that. Like, we want smart people here at Fightful. I don't want idiots. Vic says F lawsuits, I guess. And Ben says Brock Lesnar's back. Cena versus Lesnar in 2025. Who asked for this? It's the really big shock for SummerSlam. I mean, it's big, but it's good. Meh. Also, an underwhelming heel run for Cena. So, I see what they're doing with John Cena. They're having him play his greatest hits, which is, it's sort of like a look back on his career. And Brock Lesnar is a very important person to his career. I don't know that anybody asked for it, because I don't know that anybody knew they could ask for it in general. JW Pringle says, dear God, what the F was that? Don't know if I can support WWE after this. I'm truly disgusted. I mean, listen, that's your decision. Your decision. No, they did not settle. No, they did not settle. Why bring him back if he's not clear? Because they don't care, man. They don't care. James Zimmerman says, bad move by WWE bringing Brock back. I don't think it'll cost him any business. Eric says, I'm in the living room with my wife and daughter. Can we please stop yelling sex trafficking? Sean, you might want to watch a different show then, buddy. Probably want to watch a different show tonight. Gane Death says, first Trump, then Lesnar. Triple H has a weird type. They certainly have leaned a lot more into that, but like Barack Obama was on SmackDown years and years ago. Josh Mansfield says, do you think Trump promised Lesnar pardons? I honestly don't think they're at risk of any criminal element now. And I mean, Brock wasn't anyway. The likelihood that Brock Lesnar would have faced any criminal situations is very, very unlikely. Roven says, can't say this surprises me in the least, considering how chummy Triple H was at the White House. I mean, he has been the whole. I mean, WWE has just been that way with this administration. I don't think that one particularly has anything to do with another, except for perhaps a pattern of behavior. Red Devil Gamer says, great main event, but F this company for bringing that. Okay, now I just want to say, I don't think that Brock is accused of what this person accused him of, and I don't think it's fair to read that out. I don't want to have any parts of that either. It says, at this rate, Vince will be back on the board next month. I would be shocked if Vince came back, because I think they have seen that the company is significantly better without Vince. Alex says, I get Brock being an opponent for Cena's last run, but disappointed that they brought him back. That matches the mood. Like, what you're seeing is two types of people. People that are disgusted and disappointed, and then you'll see like some of the idiots that are like, ha ha ha, why is everybody mad type of thing? And it's like, well, okay. The Line Drive says, WWE truly are cowards. Have the guts to defend your choices if you're going to bring back a participant in or alleged participant in sex trafficking. Cowards canceling the pressers. So, I mean, I sort of do understand that, or I do agree with that, but if I were WWE, I never would have done these pressers anyway. You can't control what's going to be asked. We don't know as media if they are kayfabe or serious. It's impossible to tell. And the pressers became more of them, honestly, or quite really, not being honest and just saying, well, we know more than the fans and all that stuff. Vic says, gee, I wonder why they don't want to do pressers anymore. I'll give you a little insight, and I'll talk more about it on Wednesday's Hump episode. But so WWE for us, the media, does media junkets around usually the biggest pay-per-views or PLEs, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Rumble, sometimes Money in the Bank. They don't do Survivor Series. And the reason for that is to do media, they would need to fly talent on Thanksgiving. And they don't want to do that. And I don't blame them. So they're probably not going to do one in Paris. They don't do one for the B pay-per-views. They aren't going to do one in Saudi because it's in Saudi, right? If they didn't do a media junket situation, which is individual interviews, not the pressers, at the Sky Dome for Elimination Chamber, they won't next year. So the reality is they don't have to deal with media until April. And by then they could have a hard reset on sort of their media relationships. So it honestly, it made quite a bit of sense to me for them to cancel the pressers in general. I actually talked to Denise and Rick and Mona and a couple others and said, this is what I expect to happen a couple days ago, because it didn't make sense for them to use all of that time to plan out all this media stuff without any media availabilities. So they made media availabilities less available, so to speak. Bad Robot says, I have to be honest, a week of Hogan tributes, weekend of occasional politics, capped with the Brock return, bums me out. Love the talent, but yeesh. Well, they were going to do the Hogan tributes. He, you know, I greatly despise those things that he said. And obviously y'all know how I feel about that, but he was one of the most important people in the company's history. So obviously they're going to heavily tribute him. Corso says, SRS is WWE signaling over MAGA loyalty by showing the Triple H Trump video two times now and bringing Brock back. You think there are any likely negative consequences, talent not re-signing, etc.? As far as talent not re-signing, it's hard for me to imagine that. I don't see that happening. Negative consequences in this landscape, honestly, I don't believe so. I do not believe so. And I don't know that the Lesnar thing has anything to do with the Trump thing. Like, and again, you could say a pattern of excused behavior, certainly there, that matches up. Evan says, guess that's why they nuked depressors. I would say it's probably a pretty good indication. String says, I really want to support some talent in this company. Love Punk, love Cody, love many other individuals. What in the F are they doing by bringing back Lesnar without any resolution? So I fully expected once there was a resolution to the lawsuit or a settlement or something got dropped that he would be back. I did not think that this guy was never going to wrestle again. I just didn't think that that was going to happen. But I am surprised it's happening right now. People that I had talked to last year didn't think he'd be back until then. And they were like, well, the reality is he could probably still do most of the things he's done the last 10 years physically once that happens, even in his late 40s. Alec Rome says, glad I pirated tonight to not give TKO any more money. Still lots of super chats and humper chats about these. You can go to humperchats.com. Obviously, like, we haven't gotten into reviewing the show yet. We will be doing that. And then we will come back and talk about this as well. DNC Digital says, how do they keep these things secret in terms of travel? Plane rides, car service, hotel rooms. Don't others see people like Punk and Brock for returns? Punk, no, because Punk drove from his house there with Brock. I mean, listen, like, you can pull it off, and WWE is getting much better at pulling it off, but there are private planes. They're not putting Brock on a flight. You know what I mean? Brock's getting flown in. He's getting immediately picked up in a car. It's going to be very quiet, and they're going to pull him right up, take him through Gorilla. If he stays in a hotel, he wasn't last night. You know what I mean? Like, they'll have something. Plus, you can get around that. You can always get around that. Bad Robot says, even if innocent until proven guilty, Brock isn't needed. This takes time away from deserving people. Becky Lyra slapped even with zip ties that had as much room for the wrists as Cena STF. Love you. Thank you, Bad Robot. What I'll ask Luis to do, because we've got so many Brock ones, if it mentions something else like Becky Lyra, please put that with the appropriate match. So I'll ask Luis to put that on that match as well. Killer says, anyone who thinks this will affect WWE's business, I appreciate you have such faith in it, but if anything, Brock helps them business-wise. Disgusting. Yeah, I don't expect any negative impact on WWE's business as a result of this. I just don't. I don't. Jeremiah says, likelihood of fans chanting NDA or Janelle Grant. I would put that likelihood at between 5 to 10%. I do not expect that to happen. Kim Chi says, innocent until proven guilty is for the court of law, not the court of personal opinion. That is absolutely accurate. And you are open to have any opinion that you want. What I will ask our audience to do is please don't make claims of things that he's not even alleged to be a part of or to have done. There is a certain scope to his alleged involvement. And I feel like that is very important because there are certainly levels to what happened. And again, I'll ask Luis, there is a super chat up at the top of the Brock section and another one that I would like applied to the individual sections that they're talking about. Supermo says, is there any chance Lesnar was cleared before this? Hard to believe TKO would be fine with this. Why am I stunned? We would have heard about that. Brandon Thurston does incredible reporting on that lawsuit. And, I would be inclined to believe that he would have been all over that.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Ben says, any truth to the rumor that WWE is bringing in the Tate brothers? I think I'm asking a serious question. Well, listen, I didn't hear anything about this Brock thing. As shocked as I was about the Brock thing, I would be even more shocked about the Tate brothers. If they brought in the Tate brothers, there would be people asking for their releases. BL says, two questions. How do you decide to use this studio versus the Hump studio? And with you canceling your Bengals season tickets, are you now working at Best Buy? No, I work here. But when I do solo shows, a lot of times I'll do this studio. So my other studio is just right there. It's literally, my other chair is 10 feet away from us right now. But it's, if it's easy for me to hop on and do this one, usually a solo show, I'll use this. And if I'm like fresh off of a travel or preparing for a travel, I've got to take some of this equipment in this studio with me. But I'll tell you what else I take with me when I travel. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Listen, some of you are feeling some type of way right now. Maybe you want to check out TNA or AEW, but you want to get those pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you. It's the fastest VPN in the world. You can stay secure on all your devices. This phone, this Surface Pro, the studio PC over there, the TV right up there, even this bat phone I got right here has NordVPN.com/Fightful on it. So when I'm at the airport, when I'm at the venue, the hotel, my data stays safe. Now, let me tell you how to benefit you as a wrestling fan. You download the app. It's like $2 or $3 a month. NordVPN.com/Fightful. 30-day money-back guarantee. 2-year deal plus 4 months free. And they'll give you an Amazon gift card after some point. But you download that app. You change your virtual location to, like, let's say the UK. Then you are going to get the prices that they pay for pay-per-views overseas. So you buy one pay-per-view and you save $20. Well, that pays for like almost a year of this service. Maybe you do still want to watch WWE content, but you're like, man, I don't want Peacock. I don't want cable. I don't want all the services that you need. Fortunately for you, with NordVPN.com/Fightful, you can change your virtual location, use one Netflix account, and see all of the WWE content. Please check out NordVPN.com/Fightful and show them some love. I want to thank our moderators tonight for doing whatever they can. I know it's a nightmare right now. I know it is. But let's talk about this WWE show. Johnny Ace Gaming, thank you so much for the super chat. BL says, when you go to these WWE AEW events as press and stay to watch, where in the arena do you get to watch and are there refreshments? Okay, so, apologies. This is a common misconception that I have heard from a lot of the people talking about the press conference stuff. They're like, oh, well, you're going just to get free tickets. I prefer to watch wrestling at home. I love meeting like all of you all and seeing some of my colleagues, but I like watching from home. And one of the reasons I like watching from home is because, quite honestly, the media seats usually suck. The media seats, especially in stadium shows like this one, are way up in a press box. And you might be like, oh, well, that's nice, right? There are some nice amenities. If you're lucky, which is about a quarter of the time, they have screens plugged up at All In. They had audio hooked in. It was fantastic there. You've got electrical outlets, and sometimes they'll have food there. Sometimes. But from a view standpoint, you're talking about watching wrestling in a 20 by 20 ring from a seat that is designed to watch football on a 120 yard surface space, including the end zones. So, not usually great. We have Triple H doing the intro, because of course we do. Stephanie McMahon also makes the attendance announcement. 60,000 tonight is what she claimed. And then I think it was 113,000 across the two nights. But Naomi defeated Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. Let me tell you. So we had broken on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. I know a lot of you will go, why the hell would I pay for wrestling news? Give it a shot. I promise it's good. We got podcast, exclusive Discord. We had reported that Naomi had a guitarist for her entrance. That guitarist ended up being her father, and that dude could shred. That was an incredible entrance. What a fantastic entrance, and you could tell a very cool moment for Naomi. Holy cow. That was unbelievable. What a fantastic entrance. There were some spots in this that I really liked. I don't know how I feel about Rhea Ripley joining in on the Io taunt in the middle of the match where she's trying to beat her. But Io does a breathtaking springboard moonsault. I loved this pin attempt from Naomi where she moved and Io ended up hitting just Rhea with a moonsault. There was a power bomb onto the floor, like onto an opponent that was really good. A Riptide almost got the pin, but there was actually a couple of things that I loved about this finish and the way that it was portrayed. So we know that Io, Rhea, and Bianca had next level chemistry. We know that Rhea and Io had next level chemistry together. Then you add Naomi, and just one different ingredient can change things an awful lot. But Naomi's doing the best work of her career, man. Like, she is killing it right now. And I just loved this finish because, again, this was all no DQ. Io jumps to the top rope and, like, kind of slips. I don't know if the slip was intentional or was used to mask Rhea hitting her with the super riptide, but either way it works because it gives a reason and an opportunity for Rhea to capitalize off of that. And I think from a story standpoint, you can also build on that. But Rhea goes for the pin and Naomi rolls her up and holds the tights. Rhea is like, she's got my tights. She's got my tights. And Michael Cole's like, too bad, Rhea. It's no DQ. They have not done Rhea any favors by having her complain about a lot of stuff this year within character, right? Like, a lot of stuff that really she shouldn't be, like, complaining about. But I like that Michael Cole said, what's it matter? It's no DQ. Naomi was the my bookie AG favorite to win this. I love that she won this. Love that she won this. Love that entrance. Again, she is on a hot streak right now. And just loving it. Loving that. G'nay Death says, I hope Private Party don't go to the Fed, man. Did y'all see Mark Quinn lately? Oh my God. That dude is enormous right now. King BPH says, Brock's return unfortunately masks what I thought was a mostly meh show. Listen, I got a low bar for enjoying pro wrestling in general. But definitely this has me side-eyeing a lot of things. I'm trying not to cough in your all's ear, I promise. Allergy-induced asthma. Let's talk about this TLC match. Wow. Anwesh says, the worst is we're talking about Lesnar. We had a superhuman main event, top TLC match, and Becky Lyra, not needed after a banger main event. Well, listen, we're still going to talk about this stuff. It is the job. Listen, I'm still going to cover pro wrestling and cover WWE. It's the gig. But Wyatt Six win, you have Andrade and Rey Fénix, or as we call them, the Lucha Acquaintances, the Street Profits, Motor City Machine Guns, Fraxium, DIY. Woo! You had a lot of people getting involved in this. You had the Wyatts getting involved, and the numbers game played to their advantage. And, like, if there's going to be one match where there's interference involved, this one makes sense because why wouldn't they, right? Like, why would they not get involved? Since we've seen TLC matches, since the first one, which is my first favorite match, like, we knew that other people could get involved. Lita, Rhino, who was the other? Spike Dudley. There you go. This time they've got, like, pre-drilled holes in the Slim Jim tables now. They've got some pre-cut ladders, but, like, that, those are just observations. Let's talk about these insane spots in this match. Now, if you're looking for psychology, you don't need that here. You got, like, 15, 16 people here. Why you need psychology? Outside of why aren't they grabbing that belt? That's about the only psychology I'm looking at and going, okay, that one could make a little more sense. But other than that, it is car crash, car crash, car crash. And that's what this should be. It's okay to do that. Now, I probably would have had this or at least one of these no DQ matches on last night, which was last night full of clean finishes and straight up matches, I would have taken at least one of these that had a bunch of interference and was a hardcore match and put that on the first night. But we'll talk more about that later. Loomis does this leg drop off the top rope. As, by the way, the Wyatt Six were the MyBookie AG favorites. Loomis does this, out of hell with it, he's down there somewhere, leg drop. It just like drops his ass through the table. One of the most breathtaking, insane spots that I have ever seen is this Rey Fénix Spanish fly off the top rope to the floor through a table on Angelo Dawkins, who is a big boy, while Tommaso Ciampa moves out of the way. I can't believe they got that far. It looked like they almost hit the barricade. That was insane. Insane. And then I thought that one would be like the one that got all the attention. Then they knocked Gargano into a ladder that Candice LeRae was on, because Candice, B-Fab, Nikki Cross got in there. And Nikki falls like at this very awkward angle through this ladder. Woo, boy. That one got all the attention. That got all the attention. And this is all in front of the Hardys and the Dudleys, who were ringside because they were promoting the TNA Bound for Glory match. Boy, you better believe TNA has got to be thrilled with that. Like, and the audience that they're going to capture with that match. Like, listen, anybody who watched the last match that Devon Dudley was in, you're obviously like, oh, okay, how's this going to go? I think they are going to do enough smoke and mirrors to make this happen. It's going to be play the hits. What's up, headbutt? 3D, power bomb, twist of fate, swanton, poetry in motion, go through a ladder, go through a table. You'll have about one of these a minute and you'll have a pretty solid 10 to 15 minute match, I think. But it's gathering a certain type of audience. It's like, oh, I'll watch that one more time. And it was a good idea to have them out there watching this to lend some credibility to this match as well. But, Tommaso Ciampa is a freak, man. Like, he's doing the hang from the ladder spot, or hang from the belt spot, right? And it's the old Jeff Hardy spot. Nathan Frazier goes up top and tries the drop kick or spear or whatever. And Ciampa just curls his way up there like he's 50 Cent in the End of Club video. And it's just completely gone. Incredible spot. And then as Frazier does a... goes to do a lion salt press. He gets caught with a super kick. Whew. Then, by the way, DIY gets sent through the snap into it Slim Jim tables. And we're talking like Matt Hardy, Bubba Ray Dudley style, where they're stacked up. And again, I'm okay with them drilling holes to stack these tables. I just want some safety for the wrestlers. I don't give a damn about that. But it always feels like one of the tables gets missed, right? It's never all four of the tables. It's usually like three of them. And it was a very satisfying crunch. Andrade did the sunset bomb to Howdy, but the Wyatts get the win. And I'm okay with that. It makes an awful lot of sense when you got Rowan involved and Howdy involved and Nikki involved, that they effectively have like one or two more teams helping them out. No problem with that. That match was phenomenal. And listen, you can call upon the history of SummerSlam ladder matches as well. The Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, and of course TLC. And was the custody of Dominic ladder match at SummerSlam as well? I'm sure there's been more. Auntie Collins says, with Hardys, Dudleys, wish Edge and Christian could have been there. If the TNA relationship was not with WWE, I think there was a solid opportunity that they could have done that. I mean, we're looking at a 2025 where the three teams that were a part of TLC are about to be active. And also think about that. Think about when they were doing those matches and every old head said, man, they're going to end their careers. They're going to kill themselves. And here they all are. Now, granted, Devon had a stroke. Bubba Ray isn't as active anymore. Jeff's had his issues. Matt's had his issues. And Edge and Christian did retire, but they are all still doing it in some capacity. Unreal, man. Unreal. Leave a thumbs up on this video. If you all don't mind, we would greatly appreciate you guys doing that. Send in a super chat or humper chat. We got the no DQ match. Becky Lynch defeated Lyra Valkyria. Our MyBookie AG underdog was Becky Lynch. So if you bet on Becky Lynch, you made yourself some money tonight. This match went a long time, and it's very polarizing online. It was polarizing in the building, too. Like, they were doing the wave, and they were chanting, like, this match sucks. And if you watch this match on mute, it will be long. But you would have no idea that the audience wasn't going crazy. I thought this was a well-executed match, if not a little too long. At the same time, here's where I stand on this. Was it a little long for my taste? Yes. Do I think that this type of title needs this type of time on occasion? Yes, I do. I think that's very, very important. So that's why I'm going to be like, okay, well, while it wasn't match of the night or even second best match of the night to me, I did think that it went long. I am willing to look past that because one, Becky and Lyra and Bayley have had an incredible story. I thought the match was executed well and the title needs stuff like this. Queer Auntie says, Sean, sending my love for covering this because yeah, woof. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for paying your staff. Favorite matches were all the women's matches. 25 for Becky and Lyra was amazing. Well, by God, we try to. We try to. A way that we pay our staff is FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. We had a bunch of details on Becky Lynch's new theme. I heard this about a month ago, I think, of the Wonder Years. I have heard a couple of their songs before, and I've been listening to them nonstop since hearing this song. Wait till you all hear the full song. The original version I had a slightly less imposing, slightly less intimidating intro, which just says the man will come around, which we had reported. But I loved this song. It is like a late 2000s rock song, which written completely for her by the Wonder Years, with some real, like, by the tone of it, I mean like the Maven theme. And Becky was singing it as she walked down. She got a new Tron as well that was Hogan-inspired, red and yellow. Vince says, Lynch-Valkyria match just ended, and if anything tops this, it's a hell of a pay-per-view. Well, it ended up being a hell of a pay-per-view. I think that having the TLC match, the women's match, and then that main event, and I like Dom and AJ as well. There's just a lot of, you know, a lot of people feeling a certain way about Brock, and I understand it. Red Devil Gamer says, apologies for getting heated and mixing Brock and Vince up. Moving on, Lyra and Becky got no respect from the crowd. It was a good match overall, very physical, and told the story well. So I want to hear in the chat what you guys think about this and in the comments. Like, how do you balance that? The length of the match, the execution of the match, how the crowd reacted to the match, and what your personal feelings are about the match. Because obviously, if the crowd was white hot for this, a lot of people would be viewing this match a lot differently. But the reality is they weren't. They weren't. Bad Robot says Becky Lyra slapped even with zip ties that had as much room for the wrists as a Cena STF. So let's talk about that. There were spots in this match. And this is one of Becky's first straight up no DQ pin matches. But they did zip ties. And they were a little loose. But nonetheless, Lyra Valkyria doing a moonsault in those things is incredible. She did a Nightwing to the floor. She also did what we will technically call a Famaster through a table, but really it's just a leg drop to the back of the head and back through a table. I love that move. Give me a good leg drop to the back of the head all day. Love that move. Becky had wrapped a chair around Lyra and thrown her into stuff. Brought up a fire extinguisher. There was one thing I wish they would have given a little more care to. Becky did an homage to Happy Gilmore 2, which she was just in. And they said, oh, no, she's channeling her inner Juan Soto. And it's like, no, she was just in a golf movie. That's why she did the tee off thing there. Oh, well. Bayley shows up and Becky's trying to get her to hit her with the crowbar. There was this funny visual earlier where Becky has a kendo stick and Lyra grabs a giant crowbar, and the look on Becky's face was really, really great. But Lyra ends up running into Becky, or running into Bailey, and then Becky hits the manhandle slam and wins. Fans were brutal, and KE775 says, do you think Becky is done with Lyra and Bailey? I do now. I figured that she was going to go, or Bailey was going to go to whoever this match ended with and maybe have an IC title match run, but it doesn't seem that way. It seems like they're going to lean more into Lyra and Bailey. And I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I want to see Becky doing something else now. I want to see this Intercontinental title doing something else. I did think that Lyra was going to win this. I felt like it was kind of important for the progression of Lyra. But what we have seen out of her is her ability to hang with Bailey, her ability to hang with Becky. And something that she mentioned to Fightful Select, Kate the other day spoke with her. She said that working with Bailey and Becky is good, but what she's really liked is the fact that she's been able to work singles matches and no DQ matches and triple threat matches and tag team matches and gauntlet tag team matches and 2 out of 3 falls matches. She has gotten experience with 2 of the absolute best in wrestling in a variety of different matches. So she is getting like a wrestling TV crash course about working these types of matches with these top talent. Like that is invaluable. And it honestly, it's really introspective of Lyra to like take note of that and realize how the opportunity presented here, because this is what they got to do. They got to put people over. I had no problem with Tiffany beating Jade clean as a sheet last night because Tiffany's ready in the ring and Jade isn't. And you got to make Tiffany look like she's ready. When you got people like Stephanie coming up and Julia coming up and you got Jordan Grace just chilling down there, got to make sure these people are ready. Lyra is absolutely ready. You couldn't be more night and day with the Intercontinental and the U.S. women's title, right? Couldn't be more night and day. Speaking of night and day, if you want to get a fantastic night's sleep like I'm going to get tonight, go to helixsleep.com/Fightful. I've told you guys about helixsleep.com/Fightful a lot, but I was a Helix customer before there was a helixsleep.com/Fightful. Right now, with the code FIGHTFUL, you get 20% off any purchase for a limited time. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Now, you might say, Sean, why would I do that? That's because you spend a third of your life, ideally, in bed. And that's if you're getting good sleep. If you're sleeping on a slab of memory foam like I used to, then you probably weren't. But around the pandemic, I was like, I have got to invest in my sleep. I've got to do something and make sure I get a good night's sleep. So I searched online. I literally went highest rated mattresses and Helix came up. It was like 25,000 5-star reviews. And I think now it's like 40,000 or 50,000 5-star reviews. I used one of their very flexible payment plans and I got it shipped straight to my door. But that's after I took this sleep quiz. Cause you might say, how can I trust a mattress that I haven't been on? Well, you take a sleep quiz and they match you up to the mattress that's right for you. You don't have to go to a mattress store, roll around on something that other people have been to. You take the sleep quiz and they'll send it to you. And there's a 100 night sleep trial. So if for some reason you don't like it, if it's not the perfect mattress for you, you can send it back, but you're going to love it. They'll even come get it for you. No questions asked. They've got some incredible testimonials at helixsleep.com/Fightful. They got ones for kids, one for plus size sleepers, ones that cool you down if you're sleeping kind of hot. 2025 best mattress for Forbes, Good Housekeeping, and Wired. helixsleep.com/Fightful. Tim says, I would love to see EO go after Becky next. You know what? I like that. But I mean, EO didn't get pinned. But given their trajectory of Rhea's character, Rhea will be like, well, you held my tight, so I should get a title shot, even though it was legal. I think one of those two needs to recalibrate and go to Becky. So it should be either EO or Rhea. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, as someone who was at Evolution for that triple threat, the crowd reaction disappointed me. I also think they didn't do him any favors immediately following TLC. Feels like that should have been swapped. Joel Wood, I feel like there were an awful lot of things that they could have done. They could have aligned a little bit better. Like, I'll give you a good example. We're about to talk about Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. They did a handcuff spot right after a zip tie spot. Why not have one of these two matches on the night before? I would say, I mean, either one of them, because both of them had interference. Both of them were no DQ, and both of them had zip tie handcuff spots. So you switch that out for one of the clean finishes, probably a babyface finish from night one, because there were a lot of heel finishes on this show. Heel finishes. So I would switch it out for one of the babyface straight up matches with no interference for night one. And Adrian says, Becky versus Asuka feud. I would like that as well. Becky against Rhea, Io, Asuka are all, I think, very, very good options. But I feel like it is very important that within the Intercontinental title division, you have somebody that is a big player. And I think Asuka, Io, and Rhea all fit that mold. I think they all do that because you want to portray it the way that Becky's been portraying it. Vin says, enjoyed the Travis Scott entrance on last night's show. I edited that out for audio listeners. I wasn't going to have audio listeners hear me go, fiend, for 2.5 minutes, but just pop me while working out might hurt myself. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I tried to do some more skits like that, but like, listen, y'all see how it goes. People don't let me have fun at all. Solo Sikoa, I believe he was the my bookie underdog for this show. I have to go look. He got the win over Jacob Fatu. There was a fight in the crowd, a girl fight in the crowd as this entrance happened. My God. He was all right. This is, could have been a SmackDown main event, to be honest with you. If this was on SmackDown in the main event this past Friday, I'd go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I think they should have weekends like this, have some big matches. So you add that and you have the Julia title match. And I'm like, all right, that's a solid SmackDown show. Jacob Fatu is probably destined for bigger things. I am well beyond ready to see he and or Jimmy Uso move on from this feud with Solo Sikoa. But I do want to say, Solo Sikoa has come into his own so much. And for a guy that didn't talk like at all, what a colorful personality he has. I do not like crazy interference in a cage match. It undermines the purpose of a cage match. If you're going to be in my chat and say, what about when AEW does it? Don't like it then either. Don't like it then. Don't like it when TNA does it. Don't like it. Save that for something else. It is very much implied. And then you do it some other time when it's a rarity. Like, make it a rarity. Fatu broke out of handcuffs and then did this insane moonsault after he lost, because Tala Tonga knocked the thing into his head. I also hate the escaping the cage through the door thing. Listen, it's hard for me to get into WWE cage matches, because like, if you want it to be escape the cage over the top, I'm okay with that. That's different enough. But going through the door, I've never liked going through the door. Never liked it. Just kind of weird. Fatu hit Tongaloa very hard on that moonsault. But this, honestly, like, I feel like it should have been on SmackDown as the main event, and people would have felt like, okay, U.S. title match, cage match, two very big talent on that brand. I think that would have made an awful lot of sense. Patrick says, I thought Lyra was terrible. How do you forgive her hands coming out of the zip tie and putting them back in? Improvise. I didn't see that. I completely missed that spot, Patrick. No, I completely missed that. Oh, my gosh. At least don't shoot her doing that. Yikes. But we had interference in three straight matches here. And that's after last night, I really put over them having a ton of clean finishes. Should have laid that out. Paul on TikTok says, yeah, during the belly-to-belly spot. Okay. That one's my bad. I've mentioned FightfulSelect.com a few times. Let me just tell you guys. If you're like, why on earth? Why in the heck and darn should I ever subscribe and pay for wrestling news? Can't I get it free somewhere else? You can, but I've corrected all those aggregators like tons and tons of times. Let me tell you guys about what we've had on FightfulSelect.com this week, including us posting that there was going to be a lowrider entrance that AJ was actually going to use. But we had SummerSlam scoops threads, details about how quiet they were keeping the end of Cody Rhodes and John Cena, obviously, a Dustin Rhodes update, what happened with Seth Rollins' cash-in, SummerSlam match results that were changed, Braun Breaker injury updates. We had four TNA contract updates this week. Linda McMahon backstage at SummerSlam. We had more news on WWE Unreal than anywhere else. We spoke to the director of Unreal. We spoke to Charlotte, Braun Breaker, Lyra. We're out there talking to the talent directly, not like janitors and stuff, not just people in catering and stuff. We had details on the Street Fighter filming schedule, Becky Lynch's new theme. We had Raw scoops thread, producers, writers, what AEW segment went over time, the SummerSlam producers, what WWE thought of Unreal, the AEW reaction to Dustin and Kyle Fletcher, what WWE star a lot of people thought would have a bigger role in the company on SummerSlam weekend. I've got a really cool one about Jelly Roll coming out tomorrow, but we had more about what talent thought of him. We got more on Unreal. In fact, Unreal's involvement this weekend coming. We had details on Vince McMahon's car wreck because he drives like a crazy asshole. Corey Graves and Pat McAfee internal reactions, set construction updates. This is all this week on FightfulSelect.com. Not to mention all the free stuff. We got podcasts, Q&As. I got daily Q&A articles. If you like all this super chat, humper chat stuff that I'm answering, I do daily Q&A articles, and we do a Q&A show every week. I did two of them this weekend just for the sake of it. FightfulSelect.com. Join our wonderful community. Let me tell you, community of the smartest wrestling fans on the planet. I've got a Discord over there as well. It's my Fightful Select club, plug. Dominic Mysterio defeated AJ Styles. I love this. And I specifically love the direction of Dominic Mysterio. Vin says, Eddie was in WWE for 5 years and his legacy has endured forever. That's a goat. Absolutely. So AJ Styles aura farms here. And this AJ Styles, the guy who's wrestled Eddie before. He comes out in a lowrider with his son. You know, that was a cool moment for him as well. And it's like, I was just seeing this chat. Somebody says, why is your boss caping for Brock based on it's not illegal, it's just unethical, allegedly? There's a misreading of facts. Not just a misreading of the facts, a ridiculous assertion. Listen, I can't control what Jimmy says. I wish I could, because I wouldn't have him saying ridiculous bullshit like that. So here's what I'll ask. Go ask him, because I certainly will when I get off this stream. What do you want me to say? But AJ comes out and does the Eddie Guerrero tribute, has the Eddie Guerrero gear that is a tribute to his gear from the Dom custody battle match. Just incredible. Incredible. We get this match, and there's a lot of Eddie tributes here, especially from AJ, who does a few little things, and Dominic, you know, tries to feign cheating and all that stuff. And what he did really wasn't cheating that much. He just used his gear. He outsmarted AJ Styles. And I thought that was great. And what I would like, and I've mentioned this before, I would like this to be the genesis of the Dominic babyface turn. I feel like AJ can say, you know what? You one-upped me. You outsmarted me. And I respect that and shake his hand. And that be the genesis of the Dominic babyface turn, where he uses the Eddie Guerrero gimmick because he can get away with it. He's got the ties to Eddie. Physically, it makes a lot of sense. But Dominic Mysterio has become an indispensable performer. From a guy who got, it was a nepotism hire, to a guy who is indispensable. He is so good. He is so good. Unzipping his boot and going into that, doing the WrestleMania 20 finish, like Kurt Angle, or like against Kurt Angle. Really good. Really good. But I think that Dominic as a babyface would go really, really well. The main event. Oh, by the way, Dominic Mysterio was the MyBookie AG favorite. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Use the code FIGHTFUL to get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere at MyBookie AG. Cody Rhodes defeated John Cena to become the WWE champion. Let's talk about this match before the aftermath. I thought this was art. And it was art in a specific way. These days, WWE fans are conditioned to pop for signatures, finishers, big spots. That is John Cena. There isn't as much like building the heat, so to speak, and this was a street fight. And John Cena did this babyface turn on Friday where he basically said, hey, so I thought this would be shocking TV. I bought into it. And then the people that were supposed to be with me left me high and dry, basically calling out The Rock and Travis Scott, saying, sorry, this has all sucked. Sorry, this hasn't went the way that you wanted, but these people abandoned us. So there you go. Threw him under the bus without throwing him under the bus. And it's what we have suggested. So a lot of people were like, is Cody turning heel? As of a few months ago, FightfulSelect.com heard that was not the plan. Would The Rock be back? Nobody I talked to this weekend heard he was coming in. There were murmurs today and talks of something big, and they definitely kept things very quiet for obvious reasons. But from bell to bell, this was a fight, man. This was a great fight that followed a good formula that produced what I think is one of the best John Cena matches of all time. It's his longest in over a decade. And I just thought was fantastic. Yeah, the Dusty Rhodes intro. They go face to face. They hug each other and start punching each other. A nice callback to the heel turn itself. John Cena stealing a crutch from Tyrese Halliburton. It close to New York, got a good reaction. Shout out Tyrese Halliburton. I'm a Raptors fan. I can't hate Tyrese Halliburton, man. I can't hate a guy like that. Dude, the winner. But like when you see the AA, like about 9 minutes in, you're like, okay, this is the direction this is going. Isn't it funny? Like if you put Cody Rhodes in like 1991, he'd be a high flyer. The Cody Cutter, the disaster kick, the moonsault. He'd be a high flyer, but he's doing that stuff. You got the STFU. Cody busts out a pile driver. And Wade Barrett said something kind of interesting. He's like, that move is banned in WWE, but here in a street fight, it is legal. And I was like, really? So is this the first time we're just straight up saying that it's not like a morality thing or a stay away from it? It's a, that is banned. They tell you to not do that. That's interesting. John Cena does the infrared outside. Like John Cena from an athletic standpoint hasn't looked like this in 8-9 years since around the start since 2017, maybe. He does what, you know, basically is a top rope fame master, and I can't believe he can jump that high. Back-to-back nights. Roman Reigns couldn't believe he jumped like that after not doing that for a while and still doing it, and he got so much air. Josh on TikTok is saying the crowd chanted, "You can't do that." Yes, he can after the pile driver. I love it, man. There's a kick out after an AA, a big suplex into the barricade because they ran up by the stage and they disappeared underneath the stage. It's like, what's going to happen here? But John Alba had tweeted live from the venue a picture of the Cody Vader being down. And then John Cena comes up with Cody on his shoulders. So he's done something to John Cena off screen that we can't see. But the toll of walking, or he's done something to Cody we can't see, and the toll of taking him down to the ring is too much, and Cody recovers, goes through a table, crossroads, kick out, and Cody's like, damn it, man, I got to get the turnbuckle. And he takes the turnbuckle off, cracks Cena over the head a bunch of times. Cena takes it and does the worst. Actually, the STFU with the rope was fine. Cody's reversal didn't look good. That was like the only thing that I didn't think looked good here. But then Cena kicked out of three crossroads. Cody kicks out of three AAs, including a super AA. This was such a literal passing. I would say literal. It was such a figurative passing of the torch that it became a literal passing of the torch as Cody Rhodes picked up the win. This kicked ass. This was I think it'll be the best match that John Cena has on his retirement tour. And it was a rematch to a match that's like, was okay. It was fine, I guess. But this match ruled. There was, you know, the looming presence of, is The Rock going to show up? And somebody says a Hogan versus Rock passing the torch thing. Except, here's the difference. Where was The Rock a year later? 13 months later, The Rock was gone to Hollywood permanently. 13 months from now, Cody is still going to be quarterbacking WWE. Cody Rhodes is still going to be leading the charge in WWE. After the match, they shake hands. John Cena hands the title belt to Cody. Whew. Where do you go next with Cody? Well, we're on SmackDown. Drew McIntyre got a big win. Logan Paul got a big win. I think the John Cena thing is done. Do you maybe switch him over to Raw a little bit? I don't know. Do you have him do something like that? Jacob Fatu is a guy I could always see rising to that occasion. But part of me thinks it might be Drew or Logan, but I think Drew would fit a little bit better. He's feuded with Logan already, hasn't he? Yeah, but sometimes they redo those. Tim says, I think the bookend matches were good, but last night was better. It's hard for me to top that main event, man. That main event was so good, so good. Chi-Town Spur says, joke company, fantastic main event, and incredible Cena performance ruined. So when do they bring Vince back? Because that's only a matter of time. So while I don't think that Brock Lesnar being back will hurt business, I think that Vince McMahon being back will hurt business if they do that. I think it will affect sponsorships big time. Anthony says, very hyped for what I thought was the show ending after a great match and Cena getting a moment. And then Lesnar came out. My excitement turned to disgust. WTF. Ping says they ruined Punk and Cody on consecutive nights and bring back the cohort of an alleged sex trafficker. GFY, Paul. JP says main event was great. Wasn't thrilled with the ending. Brock return felt more like a cheap shock value to cover if the ending didn't go over. Well, the ending did go over. The ending got over hugely. Hugely. And somebody says, how can Brock not hurt? I mean, the reality is it should, but it won't. Like, we have seen that. We have seen what they sort of do there. And Envy the Engineer says, is Brock back? Or is he just here because Cena wants to do one final match with him before retiring? I mean, if it was a Cena request, boy, that's kind of tone deaf. But let's be real, Cena has been tone deaf about a lot of unsavory characters. Eric says, talent having to answer for questions or decisions they didn't make because Triple H cowered it out of the pressers is sickening. Yeah, you'll see a lot of that. You'll see a whole bunch of people say, well, why aren't these talent being asked about this? Well, good luck. We're not going to have any media availability for a long time now. As a result, probably hugely of this. And Simmons says, it's the personal five top Cena match for me. For the last few years, it looked like he didn't have it anymore. This was big match John at his finest. This was, I think when you talk about big match John Cena, this is on the Mount Rushmore of John Cena matches, right? I think you put AJ Styles up there and, you know, a couple others, but like these are the ones, or this is one of the ones that I think that you look at and you go, okay, that is a career defining match for John Cena very, very late in his career. CM Punk is one of them as well. Maybe Daniel Bryan or Umaga is up there. But I got to say, this one's right up there. It's an incredible match. Isaac says, hell of a show. TLC match was amazing, but Cena and Cody take the cake. Also, are you surprised they brought back Brock Lesnar? Do you expect a match with him and Cena at Clash in Paris? Yeah, I do expect it at Clash in Paris. John Cena is booked for this week's SmackDown. He's got 3 SmackDown appearances and then Clash in Paris. I'm not shocked that Brock came back. I'm shocked that he came back now. I thought that eventually he would come back. I just thought that it would be after the settlement, resolution, dismissal, exclusion of a lawsuit in some capacity. So yes, I'm very surprised to see Brock back now. Mike says, do you think specifically any WWE talent will voice their displeasure at the Brock return? Mercedes and Swerve have already made not so cryptic tweets. Well, I'll tell you that after Brock got cited in that lawsuit, a lot more things, and I want to specify this, off the record things that I can't put out there, and I wouldn't put out somebody's private business and or anything like trauma without their approval anyway. People were a lot more open to speaking about Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon and people like that. Are the fans going to try and scapegoat Michael Hayes for the Brock return too? I guess I don't understand the context of that. I don't understand that one. I'm sorry. I don't. Nico says, I hope they get Jacob Fatu away from the Bloodline storylines. He's going to be stuck in that. He could be doing so much more. It seems like it's going to continue because they ended it the way that they did and Jimmy Uso was involved. But somebody says Hayes is all, or Louis says Hayes is named in the lawsuit. I mean, yeah, but he's also a major producer. So, I mean, that naturally will get brought up as well. Why can't WWE give LA Knight the WWE title or World Heavyweight title? Dude naturally grew fans, sold a ton of merch. What else does he need to do? One, I think, honestly, I think there's a chance that he will get it eventually. I don't know if right now he'll get it. Him and Cody could actually make a lot of sense. Him getting a shot at Rollins makes sense because he beat Rollins in the injury match. I think it'll happen. I think right now they're kind of letting it bubble under and they're like, they're doing the man, it would suck if you got behind this guy even more type of thing. Swaron says, can't wait for The Rock to show up at some point before Cena's retirement and tell him it was the final boss who set the beast free for defying me. Yeah, and then what they'll do is they will act like it was a plan all along because they love to tell you how much smarter they are than you. Ken Ruzis says, Fed is trash. Vince will be back. Trumpet mania. I mean, the trumpet mania thing, I think, is more likely than Vince being back. Daniel says, Brock returning is not a good look, but Michael Cole's holy shit was actually incredible. That was a good call. Like, listen, Michael Cole did a phenomenal job doing his job. He did an incredible job calling Brock Lesnar's return. Just Mask says, Weird weekend for me. Night one was fine, but lacked a spark, and the main event jump started it. Night two was a good show throughout, and an end that left me confused, uncomfortable, and generally unsure how I feel. I think that is a pretty good encapsulation. Now, there are certainly some people that are like, oh my God, why are you even bothered by this? Like, come on, man. Like, grow a brain. Of course, there's going to be a reason why people are bothered and don't feel great about this or are conflicted about it. Or aren't conflicted about it and are just completely unhappy about it. Shane says, just got here. Don't know what's been said, but F this company. Triple H claimed when asked about the Grant case, they are doing everything they can to protect their women. Then brings back Lesnar. Piss off. Well, that's certainly based on the allegations and the inclusion in the lawsuit is a direct contradiction of such. And as a result, I do not think it is an accident that there is limited media availability moving forward. I'm with you, Shane. I would have taken in an AJ heel turn over Brock. I mean, sure, but I think those are just categorically different things as far as the buzzworthy element of it, because the Brock Lesnar thing is objectively buzzworthy. Look at how we're talking. Adrian says Brock is back. Rob says, do you think Lesnar beat Cena in Paris? So a lot of that's going to come into focus in the coming days as we find out if Brock is like back doing stuff semi-regularly, or if Brock is just doing this as part of a Cena farewell and maybe wrapping up some things on his contract. Don't know. But could we get a Brock versus Rock match? I find that highly unlikely, but if Brock is like back, he's probably beaten John Cena. And he's asking, could you see a Brock versus Rock match, Best versus Boss, or Beast versus Boss match? Any other matches you'd want to see with Brock? Right now, I want to see Brock and a lawsuit resolution is what I want to see. Braun Breaker is going to be the natural matchup. Jacob Fatu will be a natural matchup that a lot of people will be discussing with Brock back. Sarah Noble says, remember Ricky Starks posting that Kendrick GIF. It's GIF is what the creator says, but yes. Rusty Shackelford says, keep up the good work, Sean. As controversial as Brock may be as a performer, he's once in a lifetime. I have to admit, I popped when his music hit. I mean, he is a once-in-a-lifetime performer. There is no denying that. You can't take that away. No lawsuit or naming him in a lawsuit can take that away. He is a once-in-a-lifetime performer. But very, very questionable decision here. Does this open us to Brock Punk or Brock at War Games? Let me tell you, if CM Punk works against Brock Lesnar, the amount of vitriol that will emanate from a lot of online fans towards CM Punk will be immense, especially fans that are very bothered by Brock Lesnar being back. They will really take aim at CM Punk. MG says, same platform that had the Vince doc is airing the company actively celebrating Brock returning. Will there be any reaction backlash from Netflix? So they do broadcast internationally, but it looks like Brock is probably going to be on SmackDown. Looks like it. Will there be any reaction backlash from Netflix? I don't think so. Honestly, I don't think so. USA Network isn't going to give a shit because they were completely fine with Vince McMahon just popping up on TV after all that stuff happened. There were no demands there to have him off TV. So I doubt it. Dante says, I don't think we need Brock in Big 25. If you're not cool with Brock, let WWE know by changing the channel. I think that's very apt. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We do have a few more left. If you are new here at youtube.com/Fightful or TikTok, Instagram, or not on Instagram live right now, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Go to Fightful.com. Not only do we have FightfulSelect.com, the most premium and most affordable exclusive wrestling news service. We have more free content than anywhere else, period. We have more interviews than anybody in wrestling history. We've got more news than anybody in wrestling, period. We've got more free stuff. We've got more live shows. We are here nightly, including Iridian, who is in our live chat right now, who does our Collision show and interviewed Tony Khan this week. Good for her. Love seeing Iridian here. H. King says, guessing legal decided that Brock is in the clear despite being named, missing a lot in the legal puzzle pieces and confused. So before this show went off the air, I fired off my messages to people in WWE, people in PR, et cetera. We'll see what they say or what they don't say. But there's a lot. I mean, listen, I feel like Jimmy's missing a lot in the legal stuff. I don't like that he tweeted that. Justin says, apologies if you answered this already. Do you think any sponsors or Netflix themselves could pull out of their contracts because of Brock? I would imagine there will probably be some inquiries regarding sponsors, but I don't foresee them losing sponsors. But I think there will certainly be some inquiries there. And Simmons says, looks like Street Profits might be splitting up. Did I miss something? Did I miss something there? William Rosmer says, wasn't the news a couple weeks ago that Lesnar was on the TKO banned list? So that was something that Daniel Cormier, a UFC fighter, claimed. We didn't claim that. I can tell you that last year he was not to be used in videos or referred to or named on camera. Tin Ruza says, let's see what Jimmy Cordero says about this. Oh, come on, man. Dakota says, atrocious ending, still debating whether or not I'm going to keep watching. Do you think the Brock return is only for one match and it was Cena's call? I don't want to throw that out there in the world. I don't want to throw that out there in the world and put that on John Cena, right? Because I don't think that's fair without knowing. I'm going to dig into it. It'll be a long night. But I get the feeling that not a lot of people in the company are going to feel comfortable talking about this. I don't know, man. Stephen Harden says, I see lots of people saying Punk faces Seth at Mania where he wins the title. I don't see Punk having another title run in WWE again. What say you? I think they are immediately going towards that. I see two people possibly winning the Royal Rumble, Sami Zayn or CM Punk. Both first-time winners. Sami Zayn in Saudi winning the Rumble would be good. Sami Zayn is doing this arc right now of where Karrion Kross the devil on his shoulder and saying, you'll never be champion, you can never do this, etc. And I think that is the catalyst for a world championship run eventually. I think that's what kind of sets him up for it. But CM Punk eventually will get that redemption on Seth Rollins. I want to thank NordVPN.com/Fightful. I want to thank HelixSleep.com/Fightful. I want to thank MyBookie.ag and the code Fightful, and of course, FightfulSelect.com. But most importantly, I want to thank all of you, over 40,000 people watching our live stream right now. And what I try to not do on these shows is take like a moral high ground on too many things. Like nobody's perfect. You can't ever say that I have done any of the things that are alleged in that lawsuit. That's for damn sure. But I am looking at this situation personally and I'm like, is this worth it? Is this worth it? Because what you have been doing of late is showing showing the world what kind of company you are. Chris says, if there's a settlement or resolution, could they be waiting for the stock market open tomorrow or an SEC filing? I feel like there would have been an announcement on WWE's behalf ahead of this if there was a settlement. Would you ever interview Jim Cornette? I was going to for the Muhammad Hassan article that I did a decade ago, either that or the Brawl for All. I can't remember, but I think it was the Muhammad Hassan one. Yeah. Red Bear says he said 40K and it's more like 2K. Well, hey, buddy, I hate to tell you this, but we are live on TikTok and Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. And there's this little number, little eyeball number right here up at the top of my StreamYard. And it says 40,600 now. Sorry, buddy. Hate to burst your bubble. Don't need to beef up my numbers like that. Vin says, Jimmy, tweet about Brock is spot on. I don't know about that. Steven says, we actually read that one. Crazy 101 says, states John essentially Brock during, okay, let me try to read that. That was a little bit messy, this comment. I have no idea what sense to make of that. Okay. Luis, please try to make sense of that comment because I cannot, and I want to read it before we go off the air. Get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We are about to wrap up. I am sorry for that dead air there, but it's this one. It states, John essentially wanted Brock during one of the first things I said, Cena, who do you want and how, and we're working through that. Is that what Triple H said? Oh, geez, man. If this is your first time checking out Fightful, hope you're back here tomorrow night. I am going to be talking WWE Monday Night Raw. We also review NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, TNA, SmackDown, all that good stuff. I do a show on Wednesday afternoons. It is the most interactive of our show. But every single week, I am over at FightfulSelect.com doing a Q&A show. I did two of them this weekend. Might have to do one again tomorrow. Might have to stream one tomorrow. Raw should be good. I just want to say thank you for those of you who hung out with us tonight. Until next time, my friends, we're out. And hey.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.